Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Okay, the word is out. They're gonna talk about the VOD and the silver screen. Kevin and Tom and Joe know all there is to know, from masterpieces to deep fried tacos. Sucks, you might hear them say, there's no telling where the guys will take you. Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice, cause we already warned you. Better watch out, it's gonna ruin the plot. Real spoilers. Real spoilers. Real spoilers.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers 766-68, we just said before we started the number.
Oh, my Lord. And then that might be the fastest forgetting
yes,
of something.
Not a young man. Not a young man.
We've been taking those falls.
I took a nasty spill. So, 768.
You start wearing like those socks with like the grips on the bottom.
Yes.
Start.
Yeah. The Hunger Games snake bird ballad.
There it is.
I just keep thinking this title's way too long.
Yeah.
It's just one of those that just never ends.
That's what the book was called, though.
No, for sure.
I was going to ask like, if this was a book.
This was a book.
Okay.
Yeah.
Written by Susan Collins?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I think on a book you can get away with it just because it sits there. You don't have to say it out loud as much.
Right.
And also it's like the Hunger Games is the kind of the subtext, but of course it's the big marketing, the Hunger Games.
Sure. Wasn't Game of Thrones like a
Song of Ice and Fire is the first one?
Right.
And then it just kept Game getting of Thrones, longer. Right? No, yeah. But every book had like a longer title. It was the Game of Thrones.
Right.
The whatever it
but
was.
But this is Hunger Games, the prequel. It's not, you know what yeah. I mean? Like no one's saying, oh, the Ballad of Songbirds. It's like, no, this is the Hunger Games prequel.
Yeah, it's the, yeah.
Yeah. So I guess before we dig in, let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin. I'm back.
And this is Tom. Yeah, and we're all in the same room.
We are.
Oh, this feels good to not be editing that remote stuff. I mean, it's getting easier as we get more software and stuff, but still, it's just nice to be here.
Yes.
It's nice of you.
I wouldn't want to be in a remote pod. Like a full. No offense to people that do. I mean, it's great that if you're across the country or whatever.
It's great for you.
Yeah.
It's just
I mean,
nice
it's cute that you do that. But
we didn't build this studio for nothing.
But we like to do it the real way.
That's right. The real way. With two E's.
Hey, the O'Keefe Institute was not cheap.
Yes.
We got to
No, that's
use
true.
It, or we can't write it off.
Well, we're a 501c3.
Yeah, it's
a,
oh, true.
Yeah. It's a write-off.
Well, we're definitely, yeah, we're definitely a not-for-profit. Yeah. That's,
not
we're,
on purpose.
We're not a non-profit, but there's definitely
yeah,
no
there's
profit.
There's no profit coming in, yeah.
So before we dig in, shameless plugs, don't forget we're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, all the places you can find us. While you're there, be sure and follow us so you never miss an episode. Maybe leave us a review, which is super helpful. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/realspoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group. It's called the League of Show Shares. We're hoping you will share an episode. People who were kind enough to share an episode last week, Kevin is pointing at his
I just phone. Want to point out, the book does not say The Hunger Games, The Ballad of Songbirds and Snake, right?
I don't think
Snake,
any
right?
of them do
so
they?
It's like The Ballad of Songbirds and Snake, and at the bottom, a Hunger Games novel, right? So like yeah. in the movie, they played it up, The Hunger Games, but just pointing out that it's
judging
like...
Judging by the amount of people in my theater, it worked.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry.
So that's okay. League of Show Sharers. People who were kind enough to share an episode this week include Librarian Cynthia, Travis Tewitt, Tom Dowdy, Glenn Cougar, Mellon Brewer, Gabriel Lugo, Tammy Lynn Powers Betts, Julian Jordan, Chris Magic Man, Chris Falls, Brendan McGuckin, Richard Klotzer, Ralph Tribble, Phil Timon, Taylor Ward, Heather Sachs, Dissect That Film, Invasion of the Remake, Spoiler Piece Theater, Colby Mack, Feelin' Film, Binge Movies, Geek to Me Radio, Batman Rye Guy, Ronnie Castle, Nostalgia Cast, Mike and Oscar, In Session Film, and Ryan Terry. So thank you very much. We greatly appreciate it. We also have a Patreon where for $5 a month, you get all sorts of bonus content if you consider Matt Basler bonus content.
He's great content.
What about Matt Basler?
He's a great he's a great content creator.
Yeah.
What if they're identical twins? What if Matt Basler and Matt Basler?
I think if they were identical twins, one would have eaten the other in the womb.
Going back to The Simpsons, there's always a Simpsons reference.
Yeah, right.
33, whatever, 34 seasons. And
oh, man. That's one of my favorite ones.
The one eating fish heads in the attic.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Mom, Hugo's eating his napkin again.
There's all that. Let's dig in to The Hunger Games.
So, which one is this? The Hunger Games?
Four. Snake Birds, yeah.
Snake Songs.
So, I was a big fan of the first one.
The first one's
great.
Yes. First two are really good.
And the second one's pretty good.
Yeah.
First, and then the third one...
They split.
They pulled the old switcheroo. Which made sense for Harry Potter.
Mm-hmm.
Those were very long books. If anything, Harry Potter should have done it sooner.
Because they just did it for the last one.
But those last...
They said, hey, what are we doing giving away $1 billion?
We can do this twice.
Those last three or four books are really long and complex. And like I think the Harry Potter movies are great. But
they are great.
I think that's a franchise that actually, I think, would have benefited from splitting up the last few books into two parts each.
Sure. Right?
But it works so well for Harry Potter financially, they decided to do it with
for everything else
with Hunger Games.
Mockingjay split into two was a complete cash grab.
Total cash grab.
What happened was those movies were really good, and even the first part of Mockingjay I remember enjoying, but then it just ends. And then you get to the movie and it's so anticlimactic.
Yes.
Because I remember she's in the Hunger Games again for whatever reason, whatever, I've kind of forgotten by now. But you know, she's doing her thing, and then all of a sudden she gets knocked out or something, and she wakes up in an office with President Snow, and they talk, and then the movie's over.
I forgot about that.
So you're like let up, and then you had to wait another 6 months or a year, whatever the wait was, and then it just ends. And I didn't ever go back and do research on is the book that did she run out of steam in the book? But
wasn't the second and third book like rushed? Like didn't they kind of pull a George R. R. Martin where like either you finish it or we will.
I think the third one was pretty rushed.
Okay.
And I don't think they were. I think she still has the rights to it, though, because they're very much, when you hear interviews and stuff about this book and could there be more spinoffs for other characters, they always say that if Suzanne Collins has a reason to return to whatever, it sounds like she is still in creative control.
It's not like the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Yeah, they won't make them without her. Yeah, they say that.
Well, but the Girl with the Dragon Tattoos, because that guy died.
Right.
Oh, sure.
His girlfriend found the paperwork or whatever.
Yeah, like an outline.
But that's the problem. She's the girlfriend.
Not the wife.
So not she doesn't the wife. Right.
But they had been together for a very long time. So like for all practical intents and purposes, she was the wife. But for legal purposes, it reverted to his parents. And his parents were like, oh, well, we guess we don't need that 401k anymore. We got ourselves a spider with a 401k.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
And or the girl with the 401k.
The girl with the 401k.
Trapped in the spider's web or something.
Yeah. And so,
speaking of that, did you see that trailer from Madam Web?
There's a trailer for it?
Yeah.
I saw a trailer for Aquaman, and your boy's back.
Which one?
Aquaman.
Oh, the other one?
They went and they're like, remember baby. That first movie when we just locked up Ocean Master, the big villain? And the second movie's like, hey, let's get
Guess
Ocean
what?
Master to
it's
come
It's a buddy cop movie.
And now they're like best friends.
Yeah, that trailer.
I just saw the trailer before
that trailer
one of these that we
Madam
saw.
Madam Web looks real bad.
Wow. Yeah.
Real bad. But yes, that's exactly what you're right.
Yeah, so that's why you're getting all these girl with spinoffs is because the parents are like, yeah, whatever.
Churn it out, baby.
Yeah.
But I like these Hunger Game movies with I think the ending of the last part of what Mockingjay sucked, but I like these movies and I like this world, and I liked this movie.
I thought it was a lot of fun.
This movie was way better than I thought it was going to be.
It had its moments where I was like, what are we doing? I have lots of questions about the end of this movie where I don't know what happened.
Well, this movie's long, but it's long because it has a lot to cover, and I think this would have made a great TV show.
I said in my review on the radio my complaint about this movie, and this movie's not bad. I did not like it as much as you guys did, but this movie's not bad, but it needed to decide whether it wanted to be a movie or a TV show, because I felt it was too long for a movie. I don't think this movie should have been almost 3 hours long.
Nope.
But even though it's long and a little slow in spots, it also felt rushed. And I think,
because they have to cover so much.
Feel like if this could have been a 5 or 6 episode TV show,
prestige TV show. Yeah.
I think it could have worked a lot better.
Yep.
But props to them for not splitting it into two parts. Like,
agree.
That's the thing is that
I don't want the lesson here to be turn everything into two parts.
Right. Yeah. So that's the thing. Like, I respect the fact that this was long and they just made it. They stretched the length out to try to tell the story rather than split it. But then also they wouldn't have been so rushed in the pacing if they would have made a TV series.
Right.
Yeah.
So I really wish that they would have, because I think the world's interesting. I think Snow's ascent and descent, and I think it's very interesting.
It's almost like, as I was watching it, and he has these fluctuations where he's a really good dude, and he's like, he's on the side of Lucy Gray, but then he's also like, oh, there he is.
Yeah. But but there's so much backstory with his father, and I feel like from my research,
I think it's glossed over almost completely.
They don't go into it, but again, runtime, right? There's so much to pack in there, but there's so much backstory with his father, and how his father was this, you know, businessman, and they were making so much money because they industrialized District 13, but then when they bombed District 13 or whatever for the uprising and got rid of it, that's why his family becomes poor.
Right.
And they could explain it with flashbacks and stuff. Like, if in a series, they could really delve into what drives our Snow that we follow, Coriolanus.
Yeah.
But they could do flashbacks or an episode about the dad, right? And so by fleshing that out, I think you would be able to, non-readers could pick up on stuff that I only saw with the YouTube videos I tried to brush up on, you know? But there's a lot of interesting stuff there to unpack. And then there's also that character development with Coriolanus Snow, the main character, where it's like, will he decide to go the path of his father, or will he become...
This is Donald Sutherland, right?
Yeah.
Yes. That's who this is. Okay,
and I will say...
The de-aging was great in this.
They're getting really good at it. I have to admit that, like, I did not brush up on Hunger Games at all before seeing this movie.
No, neither did
I. So, like, until literally the last line of the movie, I did not realize this was supposed to be the Donald Sutherland.
Oh, really? Out of town.
Because I'd forgotten the character's name. And
Snow?
So,
President Snow?
I don't know. Like,
I saw the trailer for this movie again, like, against my will at a movie or whatever. And all I hear, and you see it in the movie, but I even tweeted, I had to. It's like, every character is required by a scene to call him Mr. Snow 3 times.
Yeah.
In this movie, if you drank every time they said Mr. Snow, you would not be
alive. You'd be Peter Dinklage. <That's
right. laughs> But, man, oh, God. Speaking of Peter Dinklage, I have to say, that guy is a great actor.
Yep.
He can show up in anything. Yeah. I'd be happy to see whatever he has to do.
Honestly,
he's just so good.
Now, Viola Davis.
Hey, man,
she was in a different movie.
I thought the same thing.
She was in a different movie.
I still give her credit, though, because, man, she was weird and creepy and evil.
It felt like they wanted to have that Elizabeth Banks character, and they're like, we'll just throw another person in there, and it'll be the same kind of...
So I will even say, it's not crazy that, like, the Viola Davis character would become the template for what people want and expect.
Sure, in the same
way that the host of the Hunger Games, like, you know.
Is that Stanley Tucci character?
No.
Is that the same guy young?
Yes, but it's Jason Schwartzman.
Well, right. But
is it the same character?
Is it the same guy?
I think it is.
I think it has to be, right?
But it's 65 years later. That guy would have to be.
Tucci's got the shaved head.
I think of, like, Casey Kasem or Dick Clark, who always looked the same until the day he died.
I mean, I could be wrong, and I don't know that much about the series, but I was thinking that was the young
version.
Stanley Tucci. Uh-huh. And then I love Jason Schwartzman, and I think he does a good job with this character, but I just kept thinking how good Stanley Tucci was. And if he is
yeah,
the
he's
same,
Caesar see? Flickerman.
Right?
Yeah. I didn't realize it was supposed to be the same character.
Unless it's his dad or something, and he takes on the
no,
same.
No, I think it's the same. I think it's supposed to be the same
was
guy.
His name?
Because Caesar
no, wasn't
sound
his
familiar.
Name something like Lucretius Flickerman?
Yeah, oh. I bet it's like his dad. And he's,
yeah, it's Lucretius oh, Lucky okay. Flickerman. So he must be
so
like
he's taking on the same.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
But, okay. but he's clearly doing the same thing.
He does have some great lines, though. Some really good
oh, and just
delivery.
Like calling the dinner and stuff. Like, we're going to be late. Yeah, this thing's going longer than I thought.
Right, right,
he's
right.
Like, yeah, I thought
no,
he's
we'll be there.
Very funny. I like Jason Schwartzman.
Oh, so he's. It's 2+1 that he does make that comment about bringing this kid to dinner with them.
So that's got to be
yeah,
the
okay, okay.
Tucci.
Oh, yeah. A little fan service that we didn't even miss because
well,
we're not that big of fans.
The fan service was the Katniss
oh, right.
thing.
Yeah.
When like, she said that, and I was like, okay.
And but, then when she right. says it the second time.
<I know. laughs> but you know what, though? The Katniss, the way they, where they plant it, no pun intended, it does kind of get beneath Snow's skin. Like, I do think it was put in a very strategic spot where it's kind of foreshadowing that Katniss will be his downfall. She's going
yeah.
to get Katniss and leaves. He never sees her. He's going to haunt her the rest of his days.
Okay.
And then Katniss is going to
so
take him down.
We're just
you know?
Gonna, this has been bugging me since I watched this
Please.
Movie. So we're just going to get into the end right
I
now.
Called. yeah. When did you see this? Three
we're
weeks
here.
Ago?
Jeez.
I saw it yesterday.
We
so,
could have done an emergency pod sesh.
The yeah. end of this movie... Right. There's an incident in a bar where Snow ends up shooting the daughter of
the mayor
of District 12. And then they shoot another guy. Mm-hmm. So, OK, in that scene in the bar, the one rebel guy says Lucy Gray comes walking in, played by
Rachel Zegler. I'm sorry. That accent is trash.
It kept dropping. It was terrible.
It's
like
country.
It's
so over the top.
Pick yeah. one.
Yeah.
Either stick with it or don't stick with it.
And I'm just like, to what end?
Right.
And it was so bad.
She's going to do an Australian accent for Snow White.
Oh,
no,
she
I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, she was. It was very much like, look at me. I'm a acting. I'm an actor.
Yeah. I
and
thinking,
I'm really acting.
I,
right
I think she's charismatic and I like her. The accent did come on, especially in the beginning, very heavy and then did just disappear.
It, did just,
halfway
it would just
through.
Run in and out.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
there's a line of dialogue when Lucy comes walking into the and sees all this happen. And the one guy says she knows what's going on. She's been with us. So there's a throwaway line. So I took that as she's part of the she's been through the games. She's won the game. She's seen everything that's gone on. And now she's going to pull a Katniss and kind of tear it down from the inside. So nothing happens with that. Right.
I didn't take that at all.
You did not.
Sir
Either
Jada
way,
says
there's a bunch of weapons, right?
Yeah.
They get taken away and it goes back to this cabin.
And then you see where the weapons end up and you're wondering, was she in on
but,
the rebel stuff?
But then, and then they definitely play that whole thing like she turned on Snow. The way they play that thing when she's like, of course I didn't. Why would I ever, you know, the
well,
way it's played, I was like,
let's start
did
the
you
beginning.
Do a flippy
because,
flip? Like, did you make a heel turn on
I,
me right
but
now?
But I
like,
think there's so much more to go into before we get there.
Okay.
I think it's a valid question, but I think we have to talk about the rest.
That's fair.
Before we can get to that point.
That's
or else
fair.
It's not going to make sense for anyone listening.
Okay. Yeah. But I'm going to tell you, the end of that movie makes no sense to me whatsoever.
Well, let's talk about it when
okay.
we get there.
Fair enough. So yeah, it's I mean it's basically the 10th Hunger Games. What number are we on with Katniss? Like,
I think it was the 75th.
Okay.
So this is supposed to take place 64 years before.
Got it.
The first Hunger Games movie.
And it's pretty much the same with the exception of it's
well, it's very basic. This is like a Colosseum,
it's super,
right?
It's super basic. It's not outside.
They're out in this huge dome with the forests. And
it's basically in this one, they're like, we're going to line you up in a Colosseum and good luck.
Which was really surprising to me because, again, I didn't read the book or look up on what this prequel was about. But when they just shoved them in the Colosseum, yeah, I'm
yeah.
thinking it's the whole like outdoors and there's a dome.
No,
and,
no, and I really like that aspect because like go back and watch footage of like Super Bowl III.
It's right. very different.
Right? It's not like what we have
no.
today.
There's no camera that zips from like one end of the
right.
this, you know, stadium to the
yeah,
other.
Yeah, you don't get the Rolling Stones for the halftime
yeah.
show. You get a marching band or Up with People. Yeah.
That's
so
good.
It's I mean, so it's clever the way that they're like, we're just still figuring this out.
But
yeah.
then
and they don't even know if they're going to keep doing it. Like there's people like at this
Nobody's
point
watching.
In time, we should say like after 10 years, people are just kind of done with this idea. They're like, we got the point, you know,
right.
like let's
we're done. Thank
yeah.
you. And so Snow starts. So what happened? I guess the person who is top of their class academically, for whatever reason, gets this prize at the end of the year.
The Plinth Prize.
And that's the kid's dad, right?
Yeah. So Janus's family, they're like the one of the richest families, but they're not from the capital. That's the
they're
thing. They're outsiders, but they've made enough money where they've come into wealth and everything.
New money.
Exactly. Yeah. So they're not capital money. Yeah.
Right,
District
right, right.
2 money. And now District 2, every district, the further out you go, the poorer
Correct.
You are. So 2 is still very wealthy
and
business 12, people.
12 is the sticks.
But the capital, you know, like you see in the Hunger Games movie, the very fancy, they dress up. I mean, they're just a bunch of rich people. They right. don't.
The
you know,
hoi polloi.
Oh, yes. The fancy pantsy.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah.
So, since we know that Snow's family fortune is gone, and he is struggling, I do like that...
Yeah, they're about to get evicted, because again, the dad has died,
right.
The mother died in childbirth, so...
So that means the sister's gone too, right?
Yeah, yeah, okay. he's an only child. That Tigress is his cousin.
Which I was like, man, they're going to make out here in a second. Like, that was... There's one scene where they, like, go forehead to forehead, and I was like, easy!
There's a lot of very close talking in this movie. Like, I was caught off guard uh-huh. by the amount of close talking.
Maybe it was filmed during COVID, and they're like, we can't build sets, just zoom in.
Yeah.
Film it in your bathroom.
We're going to film during COVID. Please put your mouths
I know,
together.
Right? Like, I don't think the logic
no,
plays
do.
Out there.
No, they do tests. I just mean, like, they couldn't build sets and stuff. Yeah.
I thought this was, I mean, I will say there's a little dodgy CG in when the Colosseum explodes.
Yeah.
It's a little dodgy,
sure.
But I think overall,
it's
they
a good looking movie.
I got to tell you, I saw that trailer for Godzilla Minus One.
Mm-hmm.
Holy
I know. I said that a few weeks ago.
I cannot believe how good that movie
was. Because I was like, I think I kind of want to go see a
yeah,
Godzilla
it looks,
movie.
It's a straight, it's a reboot. So it goes yeah. back to World War II. And
yeah.
it is, we might need to cover that for the show. Because yeah. that comes out on December 1st in theaters in America.
Wow. Yeah.
Okay. It looked pretty damn good.
It looked really good.
Nice.
So
it's a good looking movie. I do think it, and this is the problem we have whenever things explode, catch on fire. Like, they're just not going to do that practical anymore.
Never.
It's a shame. I mean, I'm glad they're being safe, but for money reasons and everything, like,
you're never going to see
explosion.
A guy do a firewalk ever.
Yes.
There will be no Backdraft 3.
Yeah.
Is there a Backdraft 2?
I think a straight to video one.
Oh,
yeah.
Man, I love Backdraft.
Yeah,
but I've kind of just consigned myself that if you're going to get a building exploding, it's going to be CG, and they just haven't been able to get it to look really
no. Yeah, fire is real hard to
yeah,
get
the,
right.
Man, that yeah. what was that movie, that horror movie that was pretty good until they got to the fire
oh.
on the roof?
Oh, The Nun 2.
Was it no, no, oh God, no.
Was that Dr. Sleep?
No, not that. It was recent. It was it The Dancing Girl? Was it Meg? Was it
Meg?
They're on a roof and there's fire or something, and,
oh.
and we're just like, that looked.
Oh, it was
Conjuring.
Orphan 2.
Was it Orphan 2?
It was Orphan 2.
Because it ends with them on the roof.
Okay,
and
yeah, like that movie yes. was decent, but when they got to that fire,
yeah.
I was like,
yeah.
So I've kind of just started to ignore that, which
yes.
I hate to be like that, but it's like. That's how it is.
It's
so
just,
you can't
it's
really.
It's not going to change.
It, right,
yeah.
You know?
When everyone has the same problem, you just kind of got to. Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
So now
yeah.
I'm just like, oh, yeah, it's another one of those building explode. You know,
those
what
fake buildings yeah. exploding.
But no, it looks good. Like the sets and the costumes
I
and
do,
stuff.
I do think the first one looks better only because it's all practical, right? They're outside. They're running around, you know.
It's got a very that first one has a very art house vibe
mm-hmm.
to it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's a different director, right? Like whoever did the first one didn't, someone took over and then they directed all of them.
Or they pulled this Christopher Columbus.
Yeah. This person has the last name Lawrence, which I always remember just because I think that's interesting that.
Oh,
that,
sure.
You know what
oh,
I mean?
Yeah.
The director's
they,
last name
they did
Lawrence.
That on purpose. They're like, you know what? Let's tie this in even more.
But I don't think they directed the first, but I do believe they directed Mockingjay. So I think they kind of carried on since
it was,
a certain point.
Who finished those out? Who finished the Harry Potter stuff? Wasn't the same guy like all the way, like post?
Yeah, David Yates,
Prisoner of Azkaban.
Right?
That's was where it? He starts.
No. Alfonso Cuarón did one, Prisoner of Azkaban.
Oh yeah,
it's
yeah,
like
yeah.
the best looking one. He
yes.
sets the tone.
Yes,
and then I
and
believe
then
David Yates.
Oh, yeah, this guy did all of the Hunger Games movies except for
the first
one.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So
he also did Red Sparrow.
Hey,
and, Constantine.
Thank you very. Oh.
So
it made,
I think
made me feel good when you said it like that. That was good. Thank
so
you.
I think the first Hunger Games had a very art house indie type vibe.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
because I think that director, was it a female director for the first one? I'm looking at
also
or no, it wasn't. Sorry. But Gary Ross directed the first one, and then they go with Lawrence.
I gotta know. How did the guys who did Battle Royale not sue the out of Susan Collins? How was that possible?
I guess they changed it enough where they just didn't.
It's the same movie.
It's the premise of kids killing. I've never seen Battle Royale. Does it have all the same background of like dystopian future?
Yeah, and, like they're
but they're in a class, and this is more about districts and stuff. Like I feel like she fleshed out the background enough.
That's fair.
To where, you know what I mean? Like Battle Royale is they're all in the school, and they
now we're starting to sound like Vanilla Ice, where it's like, no, mine goes.
It's
that little thing right there. That makes mine different.
I mean, we're not lawyers, but obviously, if it didn't happen, they for whatever reason didn't. Think that
I've
was
always
enough.
Wondered that because I think Battle Royale is 2000,
yeah,
and Hunger Games is 2012. Yeah. So it's like I don't think that book was kicking around since the 90s.
Yeah, I mean it's very very similar premise of kids all fighting to the death,
definitely more violent.
Yeah, it's a very violent movie.
But yeah, so Snow has positioned himself to win this prize, and everybody
he
around,
has to. Their family's poor. They're about to be evicted.
This is
he
only
wants,
shot.
He wants to go to university, but his family will never be able to afford it.
But even all the students are just like, we know, like you got it. It's fine. It's yada yada yada. So then we find out where his buddy, who is the rich kid,
Sir Janus Plinth.
Yeah, these names are ridiculous. I'm never gonna. Snow is in Katniss. That's as far as I can get you. They sit down together, and he's like, "Look, you're not gonna get it." Something has changed, and Snow, the look on his face. And I will say, I like the guy that played Snow. I thought he did a.
I thought the actors were all really good in this.
Yeah,
I liked Sir Janus too. I thought he was a good actor. I thought the performances were all pretty solid for people I didn't recognize. I'm just all the newcomers.
Yeah, I feel like I've seen the guy that played Snow some, but I can't.
Yeah, he's got
like an
be
MTV
in some
guy
other...
or something like some you know.
Kind of looks like Machine Gun Kelly to me.
By the end, I thought he looked like Eminem.
Well, when he shaved
his head.
See,
he went from Machine Gun Kelly to Eminem. Yeah. He could play both in the biopic. Yeah. That's Tom Blythe is his name, and he does look familiar.
I don't recognize any of these movies. Scott and Sid, Benediction.
Nope.
And then the Epics series, Billy the Kid.
I got it. He played Feral Child in Robin Hood.
That's exactly what it was.
Oh,
yeah,
the Russell Crowe.
Yeah, the one
Robin Hood where he never
calls himself
is Robin Hood until
the end of the movie. Yeah,
he doesn't shoot a bow and arrow. He never does anything Robin Hood, but
nothing at all.
Great origin. How did the sequel turn out?
It didn't. They gave it to Taron Egerton.
Oh, the anachronistic, like,
yes.
We wear zippers on our outfits. And,
that's exactly right.
Yeah,
nothing beats. Was Prince
Kevin
of Thieves?
Costner?
I love Prince of Thieves.
Or
like, that
Men
was
in Tights.
Yes. I know, or even
I didn't know
Flynn.
Anybody loved Prince of Thieves.
Man, that was like, I got way into like the Green Arrow.
It was his Kevin Costner era.
I loved Kevin Costner.
Tiger Beatty had him all over the wall.
But like, I got like, when that came out, I was reading a lot of Green Arrow.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah. Like, it's a Green Arrow movie. It's the same thing. And then I got way
Did
into
you ever
it.
Read Green Arrow and go, that's a Robin Hood story?
No.
Well, there is a, the girlfriend has a floral shop called Sherwood Florist.
She does. Yeah. Yeah.
She's a great name.
I love that. That man, that run, that Mike Grell run.
Oh, the Mike Grell
so
stuff.
So good. So yeah. good. So we find out that instead of getting this prize, this is the first time we get the mentors. Which is like the Woody Harrelson character in the movies.
So basically, the Hunger Games has been going for 10 years. No one's watching it. And the Capitol is trying to figure out a way to reinvigorate interest in these games because they're not going to continue if no one's watching.
Right.
And so they say, let's have mentors. So people at the Academy are going to mentor each one of the tributes from the districts.
And it's their job to turn them into spectacles. This is where we
see. This is where it starts.
Like what we saw in the Hunger Games, it's like this huge, elaborate, like, everything's clickbaity and like this is the beginning of that concept.
And Snow's the one that kind of like puts it all together.
Come to find out that they were just a Roman Colosseum basically. And like Flickerman says, he's like, oh, this is going later than we thought. Like in my mind, I'm thinking, well, this is a several days it drags out.
Right.
But this was just like a few hours of them.
First one that didn't last 45
minutes.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. You put a bunch of people in a pit and they eventually kill each other. And so that was another interesting thing. Like, oh, they expect this to be quick. And Snow comes up with these ideas.
Where you can. So I think this is the first time we see the tributes and the way that people in the Capitol or whoever's watching it can send money or gifts
those
to the
high
people.
End drones.
Man, those drones were my favorite part
that
of the movie.
That was pretty funny. And then I like how they were
strategic. Flickerman goes, man, these drones aren't working.
These aren't very good.
But it is strategic. Yeah, I like that a lot.
I like how Snow is smart and cunning, and we see how he's going to ascend into this.
He's going to circumvent the rules, right? Yeah, he's like, when he starts to use the drones as weapons, and they're like, you can't do that.
I'm
and he's
just
like,
water.
Just sitting in water, man.
Right. Which is, which is a very Snow thing that we come to find. So it's cool to see him ascend. I mean, I know he's a bad guy, but to see, like, how did this kid that seems very nice become Snow?
This is like
President
a better Anakin Skywalker to Darth Vader story than what we got in three movies.
Well, it's not hard to be
That's but I mean,
see,
like,
I feel like what they should have done with this storyline about Snow. Have you ever seen the movie, or even better, read the book, A Simple Plan?
Yeah.
So
I've seen the movie. I haven't read the book.
The book is great. The movie was really good. I'm not even down in the movie. But what makes that story so fascinating to me is, you know, just real quick, high level synopsis. Guy finds a bag of money, wants to keep a bag of money, and he has to do these things to not let people know he's found a bag of money, right? And so every choice he makes as you're going down this path with him, he keeps getting faced with these choices.
Yeah.
And in every instance, you get like, yeah, I could see myself making that choice.
Sure.
But every time he takes that step, it's one step closer to evil.
To be the bad guy.
Until he's finally painted himself into a corner where his only way out is something that is objectively evil to do.
Yeah. Which is where we are with Snow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I wish that this movie had played out more like that, to where, like, you see these choices and it's like, yeah, I would make that choice. I would make that choice. I would make that choice. Oh, now my only choice is to kill an old lady.
Right.
Right. And
I think they kind of tried to do that.
They
though,
tried
because,
to do, but
I mean,
don't feel like they really.
I think but he is, you're right, though. I think he is making the choices when he meets Lucy. They instantly, almost instantly fall in love.
But he's
they can't
like,
do
but
anything.
He's good. He's like down with, I hate this. Like, I want
to
help
her
these
every
people.
Step of the
right.
Way.
And then it's like everything he does is, well, he wants to help her win. And now he cares about this person. And of course he wants the plinth prize, you know? And so he starts making these little decisions where he's going to, and he's trying to save his friend. But yeah,
but,
he has to.
But he's put in a position where he doesn't, like, the Viola Davis character knows that he's friends with this guy who is like this disruptor, kind of a rebel, but can't say he's a rebel because he's in the Capitol. And she utilizes or takes advantage of that friendship and says, basically what happens is that there's a friend of his that dies of the kid from District 2, dies in the arena. He takes all, you know, takes all his rich clothes off, goes into the arena and does whatever, like, there's like a ceremony, basically, with people who die in two. Goes into the arena.
Well, he wanted to make a. He was doing like a tie yourself to a tree.
Yeah, exactly.
He wanted people to watch, but they're basically like, well, this is late at night, and no one's watching this thing anyway. So Viola Davis is like, get in there and get him out. No one's watching this, but if they do catch wind, we're going to have another possible uprising on our hands or
and
whatever.
I mean, and that to me is, to your point, though, Tom, is like where it's like, that's the first domino, where he's like, you are going to put my life at risk because they're going to come after me because we're friends. Mm-hmm. So when we get to that scene where we find out that these little
Jabberjays.
I think it's the same bird. They just call it something different.
Oh, okay.
Like Viola Davis has called them a Jabberjay, but I think the people
Mockingjays.
But I think the people in District 12 will refer to them as Mockingjays.
Where he kind of, I mean, not kind of.
Oh, so all Jays look alike. Is that what you're saying?
Just according to the Hunger Games.
They could be very different, but no.
According to Suzanne Collins. Yeah.
Where he basically wears a wire and rats on his buddy and sends this little recording to Viola Davis.
But I want to come back to that, too, and what his intentions are based on what actually happens. I want to discuss that, but I want to discuss how they get into the games
first. So, yeah, so they pick a same deal. They pick two from each district, and then each person, not the pair, because like in the Hunger Games, doesn't Woody Harrelson mentor both PETA and Katniss?
I don't know.
Or is it just Katniss?
Maybe. Yeah, he does both, I think. I guess that changes over time.
Yeah. So everybody gets a mentor.
They're just figuring it out at this point. So. Yeah. And there's all these academy
just
kids. So like,
just seeing what's fun.
It's workshopping. No bad idea in a brainstorm.
So,
but we should say at the beginning, too, when we see Rachel Ziegler and Lucy Gray? They call her her full name every time.
Well, I think Lucy Gray is her full name.
It's Lucy Gray
Baird. Lucy Gray Bard or
Bard.
So they call her Lucy Gray every time, but it's like that's all her right. Anyway. That's annoying. But so I don't know. So I'm like, why do they cut the names are very weird. Does everyone have to say Mr. Snow and Lucy Gray every time they look at the person?
Well, she says my name's Lucy Gray.
I know, but then, it's just if I referred you all the time, I wouldn't be like, hey, Joe Battisti, how are you? Joe Battisti.
Not her last name.
Yeah.
It's her middle name.
Right.
It's her middle name.
So you'd be like, hey, Joseph Anthony. Like,
I think it's, well, I think
no,
it's,
I know, but I'm
I
just,
think it's kind of like Mary Jo.
Yeah.
Okay. That's fair.
What I mean is I would just talk to you without saying your name. Some scripts do this thing in movies where the character for emphasis has to go like,
right.
And look at you, Lucy Gray. Like it just, they in this movie, the whoever wrote this or adapted this, you know, unless the book does it the whole time. But
no, you see this in movies a lot.
Every scene they say their name in the line.
Detective
and it's like,
so-and-so. Detective so-and-so. Yeah.
They're trying to establish who... They're trying to draw your attention to who the main character is, so you know who to follow.
Which would drove me crazy in the trailer because I'm like, Mr. Snow, Mr. It's like, we get it. He's President Snow, you know?
Well, not all
yet.
Of us got it.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Because he watched the movie. That's funny. But anyway, so when they pull her in District 12, she gets into an altercation. But with the girl that we find out, this girl was the mayor's daughter, and she thought that Lucy Gray kind of stole her boyfriend.
Right, right.
And so she basically rigged it so she would
The mayor of District 12 rigged it so Lucy was going to the Hunger Games.
And so she picks up a snake, our first interaction with a snake in this movie, and puts it down the mayor's daughter's back, and then she's all, you know, getting the snake out.
It was a fun little scene.
And then the mayor just, like,
smacks her.
Yeah, it's totally knocks her to the ground at the beginning when she starts singing. Rachel Ziegler can sing, and I think the singing throughout the movie does an okay job. This first scene where she starts singing and they start singing, I thought was the cheesiest.
It's so dumb.
It set up the movie to where I thought this movie's going to be horrible, and it ended up getting really good.
The singing in this movie is bad.
Did they put
not bad singing
vocally,
but
the placement of it. Yeah.
I just
did they put this in here for her?
They put this in here for a soundtrack to be sold.
Well,
that's fair.
That's fair. But like, did they? I don't know.
I get what you're saying, Kevin, about a soundtrack, but at the same time, like, this isn't the kind of movie that music that Hollywood normally. I mean, this blue, like, Americana.
What was the Clooney one? Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou?
Yeah, like it's almost akin to that. So
the way they kept doing the same song, like they're trying to make that a chart topper.
I mean, it sure
seems
meet
me at the Hanging Tree. How many times do we hear that?
A lot.
And I think Katniss sings or whistles that in one of the movies, so that is a callback as well. She sings that before President Snow gets killed or something at the end, and so this is now like an origin of that song that
there's
now everyone in
District
12 though knows that song, and that's why Katniss knows it. So, but I don't think they hit you over the head, but if you know that,
okay,
which I was, you know, watching the videos and stuff, okay, so that song is a meaningful song to these people, and it ends up being the demise of Snow, and Snow is around it in this movie all the time.
Right. Kind
of
makes me like it even less. Like, it's like, oh, they were beating me over the head with fan service.
You didn't know.
And
you didn't know it.
I wasn't enough of a fan to know. But now I know, I'm like, oh.
But I think that's the good kind of fan service, though, that people that don't read don't go, oh, they're hammering. Like, it's there for people that make the connection. But if you didn't pick up on it, then I think that's okay.
Like, that's what we said about, like, superhero fan, you know, fan.
You don't
service,
want it to like, be like wink at the camera. Like to you, it was just a song,
right?
And it was meaningful in the movie because the context about, you know, I killed a man. Like, it all kind of came to fruition. What
it
she's
did,
singing
yeah.
about a man that, and that is what we're going to get to, where she kind of, it clicks in her head that Snow's not good,
right?
Because she's been singing this song. She's like, meet me at the Hanging Tree. They did. He's killed three men. He says he killed three. Like, it's,
yeah, but who's the third one?
Well, that's it's. I that is where I want to talk about.
Okay,
when we get there, because. Did he really murder a third man,
or is she the third one?
Interesting.
No, because he it was very much in the past tense. Yeah. He's like, I've already murdered.
He did say I've killed three people.
Yeah. But he definitely set that. He murdered that guy. He set.
He murdered his buddy.
Yeah. Sent that Mockingjay audio recording off, he knew exactly what the end result of that action
but
was
he also
be.
Knew that this guy's family was rich, and he says multiple times, have your family buy you a discharge. Part of me thinks that Snow was not pure evil at that point.
He
thought he could just get out of it.
And I think that that is a a lie he told himself.
And that very possibly could be true, because we see Snow is getting more and more evil, but I think that's what makes this character interesting, because you can argue, did he really think that he was going to die? Did he know that in the back of his head, and that's part of his evil plan, because he feels powerful when he, you know, he kills that kid, and he feels powerful.
But I think to that point, it's twofold, because I do think that he is in love with Lucy.
Sure.
And he knows that this guy is going to get him killed. And if
Yeah, he gives him many, he tells him stop doing this before he does the turn in thing.
Yeah.
But I also don't think he necessarily turned him in to get him killed. To me, it felt like, as misguided as it may have been, like he's like, well, this kid's going to get out of it. His parents.
I think he's either going to get killed or he's going to get out of it.
Either way, it's not my problem.
That's exactly it.
But I also think that, like, in my head watching the movie, I was like, this guy's out of chances. Like, yes, there are only so many times you can buy yourself out of trouble. And there are certain things you can't buy your way out of. And so, like, having
it's these military guys. They don't mess around.
Well, and having a temper tantrum and running into the
Coliseum.
The Coliseum is like, okay, they can buy his way out of that. But fomenting an actual rebellion, like, I
you're
mean,
saying
what
that
is,
if you,
what
if
is he a Republican?
If you, start you don't get away with that. If you're saying you can't get away with that?
Some of you can, some of you can't. Depends on where you end up in the insurrection.
Yeah.
If you're standing outside, maybe you'll be all right, but don't go inside.
So this movie's put into three chapters. So the first one is kind of building up, like, the mentors and the tributes and all that stuff. And then is it the second chapter is the games, basically?
Yes.
Yeah.
And so it's really, I mean, it's the Hunger Games, right? I mean, the kids are, they're
I did not expect the Hunger Games to reach their conclusion and for us to still have an hour of movie left.
I thought the same thing.
That's why I think it'd be interesting as a TV show.
Agreed.
Or three movies, and thank goodness they didn't split up. But, you know, but the chapters are very much. So what this reminded me of is two movies that I really, really like. A Place Beyond the Pines.
Great movie.
And Waves. How they're split.
Waves is so good.
Is it right?
I didn't see Waves.
But the way they split into these concise chapters that almost feel like their own little contained.
Waves reminds me of, like, Requiem for a Dream in that it's a great movie that you'll never want to watch again.
It's directed by a director called Trey Edward Schultz, and I saw it at the St. Louis International Film Festival.
It's going
like
on right now. Sliff is happening right now.
Yeah, just
I'll be there today.
Right? Yeah, it's going to be
hosting a screening of Paper Moon.
That's awesome. Sweet. Yeah. That's really cool.
That's dope.
But anyway, you need to see this movie, and the way it's told, it's so cool because it starts off with one character, and then characters on the periphery, and as it goes on, they like shift who the main characters are.
Okay.
Also, the aspect ratio changes as it gets like more claustrophobic, and it is such a good movie.
And it's just such a, like, oh.
And it makes you know, it's really impactful.
It's a gut punch of a tale.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, Place Beyond the Pines is great.
But in Place Beyond the Pines, even though they don't shift characters, like, see, that movie does.
Do.
No. In this movie, they don't shift characters the way that this movie does. Like, this is Snow the whole way.
Yeah.
But the way it's cut into parts and it changes, like, Place Beyond the Pines, you start with Ryan Gosling and he's this motorcycle guy.
Bradley Cooper.
But it shifts who, like, the story. Yeah, Bradley Cooper. And it shifts kind of into, like, separate stories and different characters. And this movie very much felt like we started as this thing in the Capitol. Then it's the Hunger Games movie, which you expect.
Right.
And then you go to him doing kind of like Place Beyond the Pines. I feel like it shifts to, oh, now we're telling this other story. And so I like those movies a lot. This one doesn't do it as well, but it reminded me of the unique style of breaking a movie into different parts that almost feel like different movies.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people are complaining, like, choose what you want to be. Are you Hunger Games? Or
you're right, though. I think each part has its own tone.
Yeah.
The first one is kind of like a, I wouldn't even know how to describe it, but the second part is definitely, we're back in the Hunger Games. And the third part is kind of the downfall. I use that term, like, of Snow's character. Like, his.
It reminds me of that second part of Place Beyond the Pines. It's like, where are we going from after the first part? It completely shifts, and now, you know, we're on the run or whatever, and we're doing.
Right.
I don't know. So it just, I liked it, but they didn't nail it. Like, I think they were kind of trying to go for that and didn't do as good of a job as those other movies, but I appreciated what they were trying to do, and
so,
I didn't mind it as much as other people that were like, this is very disjointed. Like,
I don't think
you know, they're saying either are you a Hunger Games movie or are you this,
you could be both,
you know, on the outskirts of society.
You got your peanut butter and my chocolate, and my chocolate and your peanut butter.
And I hate to discourage franchises like this from trying to
Do
something
movie.
Different.
Like it. I have complaints about this movie. It was, for me, it was fairly middling. But hat tip for not just remaking the Hunger Games.
Right, yeah, exactly. Like,
I mean, I completely agree.
They are trying to do something different within this world, and so...
What's that Marvel method, right?
Yeah.
Where each movie kind of has a different tone.
So even though I didn't love it, like, I certainly hope that it gets rewarded, because we've seen a lot of lousy movies that are lazy that make a ton of money.
Yeah.
And so...
I will say that. I go to the Draft House. It's where I enjoy going.
Fancy, fancy.
Yeah, the Sliff was all
I
over
saw
the
Marvels
house.
At the Draft House. I saw this at Marcus, and I went to see the Marvels after at the Draft House, which I thought was fun. Come on, people. You can have a fun action movie, and it doesn't have to be.
I agree.
I had a fun time with it. Was it perfect? No. Was it the best Marvel? No. I enjoyed it.
But there are a lot worse Marvel movies. I'm sure you'll agree. Like Eternals.
Yeah, the Eternals. It's terrible.
It took a lot of will not to cut all that out. But no, here's the thing. Like, when did we stop being able to go to movies and just have a fun time?
Honestly,
why does every movie have to be a masterpiece
here's what
or
happened.
Garbage?
Seriously.
Yeah.
Endgame happened, and everybody puts every single Marvel movie to the end game.
That's never gonna happen. That's happened one time in the history of cinema where that many movies have built up to one part,
right?
And it was masterful. It will never happen again. But I get it's hard to hold up to Endgame and what it achieved. But what I mean in general, how the internet is cut and dry, black and white, you're either the best movie or the worst movie.
Yeah.
When did we stop being able to just go see a 7 out of 10 movie and have a fun time? Be like, that was enjoyable.
I'd be like, a good time.
Good enough.
Well done, everybody. I remember I used to go to movies before I even was a critic and just enjoyed going to movies. And every time I saw like a fun movie, I was never like, well, that wasn't as good as Citizen Kane. Or I didn't go like, well, that was the worst movie I've ever seen. I said like, yeah, that was fun. And
everything can be an all-time classic. Yeah.
No.
It's great when you stumble across one of those.
And that is rare.
But you
should aspire. Like, I have nothing. There's nothing wrong with aspiring to be great. But like the fact that everyone that sees a movie now either thinks it's the best or worst.
I think I'm in the same boat. I remember going almost every weekend to the movies. And
just, I just went to a movie as a kid. Yeah.
Yeah. And you're just like, oh, fine. It was fun. Whatever. Yeah. But
people weren't talking about movies like they were now. And I know there's a lot more voices and with social media.
Is.
But I just mean that you used to leave a movie and people were like, yeah, that was fun. Or, oh, I didn't like it that much. But it wasn't the level of vitriol of people going like, that was the worst thing and woke and this was bad and blah. It's like we have changed so much how we judge.
Well, I've talked about this before. There are so many movies that are beloved today that if they came out today, people would be irate.
Yeah.
Paper Moon, like the incels would be saying, calling Addie Prey a Mary Sue. And you know, Smokey and the Bandit. Like if Smokey and the Bandit came out today, like the conservatives would lose their over how police are treated in that movie.
Uh-huh.
It would be like, you hate cops, the thin blue line, blah, blah.
Look at how they're portrayed as like this fat southern pig.
And like, I've never thought of that movie as political.
It's not.
You know what I'm saying? Like, but that's crazy how now movies come out and they're so polarizing and politicized when it's not even the point of what...
Well, especially the age thing is a little problematic in that movie.
What's that?
She's like 16, right?
And
how old is... What's her name? What's the...
Sally Field?
Yeah.
Oh, no. She's an adult?
Oh, I thought she was a teenager.
No.
Okay.
No, because, I mean, she'd been a working actress at that point for at least a decade.
Because
that comes out in 77. And, I mean, she'd been...
The Flying Nun.
And The Flying Nun and Gidget are like...
Yeah, okay.
She was making Gidget at the same time the Monkees were on TV. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, so, I mean...
I don't know why I thought she was supposed to be younger.
She's not...
Okay.
That line... In the Marvels, when she goes, how is this helping with your fanfic, your Captain Marvel fanfic, was hilarious. When she starts dancing with that guy, how's this doing? Is this giving you a few more chapters for your fanfic? I thought that was great. I think
Kamala Khan.
Yeah,
but the actress, she's so charismatic. And
she was
likeable.
Great. Yep,
she's great in the show. She's great in the movie. Mm-hmm. I think her popping up in more movies, like the end alludes to that she's putting together the team and stuff.
The Young Avengers.
I just love that she's going to be in more stuff because she's so good.
And
she's
hopefully that continues to happen.
Yes,
because I know they're in a little bit of a flux right now. But let's get back to this one.
Yes, finish this one up. So Snow realizes that he has to get people to care about the tributes, basically. So he goes to the zoo and talks to Lucy and has a moment. He's already given her the poison, right? Like he has like
not at this, poison.
Not
it's the second time he goes then, right? Because he gives it to her at the zoo.
Yeah, the first time when you're saying people have to care, it's because Flickerman's there filming, and he ends up going in.
Oh, he goes into. That's right. He goes in the cage with Lucy.
With the tributes, yeah.
And people are just like, "What's happening?" Yeah. And it, you know, and I, it is fun to watch the precursor to what we see later, yeah. Right? Like I do enjoy that.
They're all in like fancy rooms and stuff, right? When they're in training facilities. Oh,
yeah, they've got like
this is so primal and just like
Jenna Malone is like, you know.
Yeah, they're all
stripping
training.
In an elevator and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, so in this one, they're all in a zoo. They're on display.
Right, right, right.
But he gets the Academy mentors to start visiting their tributes.
Yeah.
Now, also, it's very lack of security because this is kind of an unknown territory here. And one of the
one
mentors comes up.
Stabbed
and,
in the neck with
here,
a bottle.
Here's a glass of water. And she takes the water, breaks it, and kills her. No blood in this movie whatsoever.
That
which
was kind of a bummer.
I mean, I get that it doesn't have to be hyper-violent, but the fact that people are killing and there's
when
not
she gets
one
stabbed in the throat with a
blood,
jagged bottle,
it takes you out.
Some blood somewhere.
Like, they couldn't do a little bit and
or put
it
on
PG-13.
His hands or something.
Yeah, it just was very much like, it felt weird. That,
yeah.
That, you know.
So he, Snow is basically setting the new rules for the Hunger Games.
He goes back to class, and we've got to mention Peter Dinklage's character was best friends with Snow's father.
Right.
And he ended up writing a paper, but he
drunkenly wrote it.
And wasn't planning on turning it in. And Snow's father ended up putting his name on it and turned it in. And this drunken joke turned into an idea the Capitol used. So he, Dinklage and Snow's father are responsible for creating the Hunger Games.
Right.
Which now,
now we know that's why he keeps screwing with his kid.
Yeah, yeah. And so Peter Dinklage hates Snow and he resents him and he is a drunk because, like, a drug user. It's morpholine, which is, I guess, some kind of morphine, whatever. But he's
slamming that stuff.
He's hooked on
movie.
This stuff because he knows that he's responsible for creating this terrible, murderous thing that people are cheering on as sport.
But he does. But that's another thing to Snow's character where Snow is trying to do this to save his family, basically, to keep his family out of poverty and out of, like, being homeless. And Dinklage is like, I'm going to make sure you never get it. So that does put Snow in a position where he's like, I have to do whatever I have
to
do.
You got to make an end run.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I have to do whatever I have to do to get this money for my family. So that does kind of put your moral dilemma on the back burner because you're trying to save your family.
And just every time Dinklage shows up, he gives like this Oscar worthy. Yeah. Like, he's able to elevate any scene he's in, right? I just loved what he's in very few scenes and for small amounts of time. He's just in that classroom. But man, he gives it his all.
He call does. Me an elf one more time.
Yeah. Isn't it crazy to think like
that's
where
the same guy.
Like from the beginning,
station agent?
Like,
wasn't he in that?
Station agent is the first time I saw him. And then, it was just like, because when I read the synopsis, I'm just like, well, this will be in poor taste. And then watched it, and I was just like, oh, wow, that was really good. And I remember thinking at the time, boy, this Peter Dinklage guy is really good. It's a shame there are no roles for him in Hollywood.
And
like,
now,
yeah, I mean, I was just like, he's a really good actor who will fade into obscurity because what is there for him?
Oh, by the way.
And I love that.
And he found a way. Like,
but he's so good that they will just put him in any role, which is like, he, you know, dwarfs exist, if that's a term, you know. Like,
and half the time, I love the fact that they don't even
address it. Yes, because that's the thing. He's a talented guy.
Well, they do that in another capacity in this movie with Snow's sister. She is a trans actress.
Oh, really?
That's
his cousin.
Cousin. Okay. Yeah. That's
the actor from Euphoria.
That's the actor from Euphoria. Yeah. That's the trans girl from Euphoria.
So yeah, so they he. He being Snow is laying out the ground rules for the new Hunger Games, right?
And
he
Viola Davis.
Is like, yes. So that
she picks up on that he has something and she knows who his father was.
Right.
His father and the cousin keeps saying, "You're reminding me of your father," and that's
with
where
the
you
hate
know
in your eyes.
He can go down that path. Yeah. And Viola Davis realizes she can tap into that. So she keeps giving him opportunities to prove which way he's gonna go.
Right.
And
I do like the backstory on Snow in that it makes sense that he would go down this path because he has spent his whole life hiding who he is and being manipulative. He's a chameleon. He's always shifting who he is to satisfy the people in front of him in order to ingratiate himself and gain power. And not even, at least initially, I don't think that he's power mad. It's that power is his way to safety, to stability.
But come to find out, he really likes it.
Yeah, he really likes it a lot.
So they get into the games. The games happen. You know, he does.
Well,
the...
we should say that Snow has slipped Lucy a compact full of rat poison, which is against the rules. Like, you can't do that.
Yeah, but
it's also
can't
just
cheat.
Like, you can't. Is it? I guess it is cheating. So Lucy kind of.
I think the rules are very. I think if you're doing something that is in the capital's interest, that the that will help the capital, they're gonna turn a blind eye to what you're doing. But if it is against their interest, which it really wasn't in this case, but it was against Peter Dinklage's interest because he's got it out for this kid. So, but you know what I mean? Like the rules are very like the drones. Like if it creates entertainment, the capital's not gonna go, "You're in trouble." They're gonna go, "Hey, that's pretty good idea there." You know?
So Viola Davis does when. Snow writes up his proposal. Viola Davis, they invite him to this like war room, basically. I thought we were going to see a xenomorph in one of those things.
What was that shark weird
I
thing?
I don't know.
Me and Ryan were laughing.
I appreciate that it was just weird to be weird.
And it never got, you know, it wasn't like Chekhov's alien thing. It was just like, that
this,
was weird.
This weird shark baby thing. And we do see like this vat of snakes.
I think they do a good job of planting all the little things.
I think so too.
Chekhov's snakes and Chekhov's handkerchief and all that. Like the way it played out, I mean, I was able to figure it out, but I think they were well handled. It wasn't like super in your face, but all the clues were there.
Yeah.
You know, because I kept turning to Ryan and being like, they're going
to pay attention to this.
She's going
to,
exactly. Yeah. And it was well done.
So I like that this other girl who has been, she's like, I'm your partner. Like, I'm with you the whole time.
Yeah, the what's the, like, generic Hang term on. For the, you know, but she's like kind of the brown noser student. Yeah. I'm, you know.
Well, so Snow writes this whole thing, and she was like, what's the bullet points? And he gives her the very basic bullet points. And Viola Davis says, okay, like, it, you know, you sweat, all of your sweat, your tears were all over those papers, and I couldn't believe it. And if you wrote it, there's this vat of snakes and they will not attack you once they have your scent. They'll just leave you alone. And you can see the papers inside this vat. I mean, and I mean like a vat of snakes. And she's like, go get it.
Yeah.
They'll leave you alone. And I was like, oh, man, that's pretty good.
And this is what I really like about that character. Like Viola Davis seems all quirky and weird and she wants to do all this stuff,
she's
right?
Evil but AF.
She's evil, exactly. And this shows you she doesn't care about these kids. First of all she's just sending all these kids to die in her games.
Right,
so she doesn't care about life. And with this girl, she knows she lied and she has no room for liars and people that are going to try to manipulate things. So she's like, yeah, I'm glad you spent so much time on these papers. I accidentally left them in this vat of snakes. They'll know your scent. Go get him.
And she was like, ugh.
She reaches in. It's a tense moment. It's filmed really well. And she gets bit.
It is a little funny the way they film her falling. Like it was kind of cartoonish.
Did you guys
she just kind of locks up and just falls off the plane?
Did you guys think evil Willy Wonka? Because this is like a Willy Wonka lesson.
right.
This is totally like a fizzy lifting drink
whatever. If Timothy Chalamet forces a kid to like dig a hand in a vat of snakes.
I just thought this is kind of funny. I was like, evil Willy Wonka.
There's a movie I have no interest in seeing.
Yikes. Origin story,
So now you're right. We're in the games and they're not going the way that Viola Davis or anybody wanted them to. They're taking too long. District 12, who is Lucy, is basically just running away and hiding. And this is where we get the traditional Hunger Games.
You get, for the most part, people don't want to do this and don't want to kill each other. You get one group of bad kids, like four people.
Which is the way it always works.
Right. So you get the bad bullies and they're going to gang up. And eventually it's like, you know, you're going to get to the end.
I've never understood that they're partners because it's until, like, you all have to kill each other.
I guess it gives you the best chance to not.
Your law of averages, right?
One of four instead of one of 24 or whatever. But you're right. It's like at the end. And, you know, that girl was going to kill them all, as you see. I mean, you know.
But. Yeah. That, man, there is one. When they show the girl with Down syndrome.
Yeah.
And I was like, what?
How are they going to?
What is going to happen here? Like, this is, I don't like this at all.
But I was hoping the girl with Down syndrome
was going to, I thought to say, like,
was going to kill Lucy.
Was going to be a straight up animal once she got in there.
I did think,
I'm here to win, bitch.
Or she's just like, she makes it to the end because she was just walking around and nobody paid any attention to her.
Dancing between the raindrops.
Yeah, right.
I do think that that's a cool thing now in modern times where I know that a certain crowd is going to call that woke, but I do like that they gave this actor with Down syndrome a chance to be a character in this movie.
And if you're drawing people at random, at some point,
you're going to get...
That's going to happen.
Yeah.
Unless you have some sort of rule in place that says, oh, we can't do that.
Right. And the capital does not give a
These
are animals to them. The District 12 and, you know, the lower districts, like for the capital, these are all fodder for their enjoyment.
Yeah.
Which is why the whole thing's so gross and such a commentary on the wealthy and not caring. You know, the whole thing is a metaphor for class and everything.
So Lucy...
Lucy's hiding until she really can't. They know she's in the vents. She's crawling around like John McClane in the vents. And they realize...
they're LA, have a couple legs.
They realize
Make
she's up there.
Fist with her toes.
So they start stabbing up in the vents, and she ends up dropping some rat poison down.
Well, the first one is the
world's most potent rat poison.
I did think the same thing. Yeah. But at first...
they used arsenic for rat poison.
When Snow sends the water bottles... Yeah. The leader of the gang kind of says, gather them all up. So Lucy runs over there, dumps all the water out except for one, and pours some of the rat poison in there. And she killed the other one. She killed the girl with like bronchitis.
No, tuberculosis.
Tuberculosis. Yeah. And she was just like, that's not the one I wanted to drink. And she was,
if the goal is for the drones to deliver water.
Yeah.
Maybe a plastic bottle.
Or maybe don't send the drones in at 90 miles an hour.
I think that's part of their game, though, which is like, you're sending them help, but these drones are crazy. I think that's just another one of Viola Davis's, like, you're not really getting help. It's entertainment. It's spectacle. They said they were drones from the war, which were obviously just these antiquated 10 years earlier war. They're using these drones.
Isn't it by the time we get to the Katniss games, that's like they're dropping in on parachutes?
Yeah. Well, yeah they've... very much fine-tuned the spectacle of the...
So...
But I like that, right? They're, like, dropping them with old drones they have. Like, the game... They're in this Colosseum. Yeah. This is, like, very rough.
I do like that aspect of, like, here's a version of what, you know, a primitive version of what it will turn into.
Yeah.
Like,
I
did like those attention to detail.
Agreed.
But she kills the girl, and that's the sister, I think, of this...
Or at least the...
He cares about her in some regard.
District mate.
And this guy is, like... pretty scary.
But here's the thing.
He's like...
Is that, like, they build this guy up. He doesn't do... Well... He doesn't fight anybody.
I think at the end of the day, he didn't. And maybe he was more talk or whatever. But, like, when they have him handcuffed and he's, like, jumping at people, like, he is gonna...
I was like, let's...
You don't want to mess with that guy.
Let this guy loose.
But he ends up... he takes her and he takes all the bodies. He rips down the Capitol flag. He covers the bodies. And then he kind of just...
kneels there.
He knows that he's dead. Like, when they drop the snakes in, which, fast forward, the other guy dies of rat poison.
Well, we should say that we find out that Viola Davis said, that's it, we're done. Drop in the snakes. So what Snow does is he realizes that he's...
Oh, what happened was the son of the president.
That's what it
died.
Is.
Died.
Yeah, because they had gotten out. Oh no! When the mentors were touring the Coliseum for the first time.
Oh, the bombing.
The rebels blew it up, and the son of the president.
I really
was
thought
hurt.
Dinklage was going to be a part of the rebels trying to take.
I think
down.
That he is. I think Dude, there, I think there's was... a reason that Snow's buddy has those vials of stuff.
No, I think that was an army issued, like, if you get injured in the army, those are like in your kit. I think everyone
I thought that was Snow seeing that Dinklage was a part of it.
Could have been. I thought that was just like army issued, like, here's your supplies and what, but maybe not. Maybe Sir Janus is rich. He has access to stuff that will make it easier for him.
That could be.
Who knows? But
yeah, so she,
there's a bombing before they tore the Colosseum. I know we're jumping around, but people get loose. They end up hunting all of them but one. Yeah. They then end up, when the Hunger Games starts, they've got him strapped up.
Yeah.
You know,
crucifix style.
Yeah.
So
because the son of the president dies, she's making an example, like,
that's it. We're
there's going to be no winner. These games were meant to put you in your place and punish you, and now there's not even going to be a winner.
Right.
Don't mess with the Capitol.
So Snow, again, who has fallen in love with Lucy, realizes that he wiped her tears or her sweat off on this cloth.
Handkerchief.
So he takes that handkerchief, sprints to the vat of snakes, and like shoves it into there, hoping that the pheromones will work. Well, these snakes land in the Colosseum and kill everybody. Did you ever watch Lonesome Dove? Did you ever watch that?
I watched part of it.
There's a scene in that show.
I only watched Party Dove.
There's a scene in that that terrified me for like Jaws level of getting into like a river, where a guy is trying to forge across the river and he falls in, and then he is attacked by water moccasins.
Ooh.
And it's like on film. And I, to this day, I'm just like, no, I'm good. I don't know, if I can't see the bottom, I don't want anything to do with it.
Yeah. The idea of no escape from these things that are just going to swallow
you whole.
But they're
not biting. They're just like wrapping around them and I guess suffocating them?
They're like zombie snakes.
Yeah, right, well,
I think some of them are biting, but yeah, they're going to choke you and suffocate you and whatever, but...
So they start to come up on Lucy, and they sort of do what they're supposed to do, but they back off. And Lucy starts singing, and Snow has told her, you need to sing. Like, that will draw the people in.
And isn't that kind of how Katniss becomes beloved? Doesn't she do something
Katniss
where she starts
does
singing
do something. I don't think she starts singing, but she does something
but she
that
does,
endears her to the public.
And so Lucy Gray's talent is singing. And so the way she does is to raise money before the games. She does get a guitar, which she requests. She starts singing. She gets record donations, they say, for the day. And that's her thing where people
watch her. And Snow does a pretty good job of saying, why aren't they attacking her? And he's like, it's the singing. Because she says that, like, you can sing.
Right,
and
to cover up that he did the pheromone thing.
Right.
And also as a part of the marketing, like, the brilliance is people, whoever is watching this, are seeing her, and she's the last one left, but she's still getting attacked, but she's sitting there singing calmly and endearing them to her.
And the snakes kind of back off.
Well, they don't back off, but they, like, wrap around her. She's like snake charming them.
Oh,
they don't back off at all. They're on her.
That's true.
But they're chilling. Like, you know, they're just And then Snow is yelling up at Viola Davis, who's in the monitoring room.
She won.
And she's like, come on, let her go. She won. And Viola Davis is like, how do I play this? Right? Like, she wants to represent power and, you know, for the Capitol, like, don't mess with us. But also now you're going to get an uprising if people love the person and like Katniss situation.
Yeah.
And you take them out, it's like, well, now you're going to get people mad. So
also, if the lesson is that there's no winner, then the lesson is,
what's the point?
No matter what you do, we will crush you. So you might as well
rebel.
Rebel, right? You're going to lose no matter what, you might as well take somebody down with you.
Yes.
So she eventually calls it off. And
they let her go. And then we get the scene with Dinklage where he's just like, gotcha, bitch.
Yeah, like next day he comes to see Lucy Gray and his Dinklage is there and he's like, you know, like, it's fitting that your parents would be here to see what becomes of you. He's got the mother's compact he found, the father's handkerchief with the initials. And
he says, that's it, you're done. You're going to go serve 20 years in the private police force and you're going to make sure the district is safe and you're going to district.
Peacekeeper.
He's going to District 2 initially and he has whatever money is left. And he knows that Lucy.
No, he's going to District 8.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right. Two is where he's going
to
end up.
You want him. Yeah.
So he takes whatever money he has left and he says, please let me go to District 12. And he goes, and his buddy goes with him, and they start this peacekeeping mission. And I use that term very loosely in District 12. And finally, they get like a day pass. And they go to this bar, and who's singing at the bar?
Well, that's Lucy Gray.
It's Lucy Gray.
But if you win the Hunger Games, aren't you rich? I thought they take care of you for the rest of your life.
I don't think in Hunger Games 10.
They haven't started that yet?
Yeah, because like...
No.
Because
she's not even like... You would think that, yeah, she would elevate to higher society or whatever. No, because they take care of the family, and that's how Katniss wants to feed her family and stuff.
Right.
But in this version, it's just like... Oh, you get to live.
Yeah, congratulations.
And you're just a singer at a bar. Right. Yeah. That's the whole thing about, like, they just haven't really figured out exactly what gets them the most attention. Because now if people are watching and they're betting, remember, Snow invents betting on the games, which was not allowed before. And so now there's monetary reasons to be invested. And now the winner gets to be rich and famous and a celebrity. So now people are more invested on their person.
Yeah, right.
So it kind of will develop over the years.
And it does, right? So... Snow goes and they basically
just in training and he's a peacekeeper but he sees her at this bar
and his buddy
screwing
things up. And it sounds like Snow is on the verge of being like, I'm done. Like you and me, we're going to get out of here. We're going to live our life.
They go to a lake. They have a secret lake spot that the peacekeepers and people don't know about. They have, you know, this nice scene with her and her friends, which are gypsies basically. The musical.
Can you say that?
Yeah. Like gyps. That's not,
I think that's not cool anymore.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought like a wandering like musical. I thought that was like
just say that.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, okay.
It's supposed to be like what are they? It's like Romanian or something.
Yeah.
Now?
Well, that's a country.
But it's something like
that. Well, what is their word in this movie? I just can't remember what it's called. Does it start with a C?
I almost said Khaleesi, but that's
like a
not
hard
what it
C.
Is.
Yeah, it's like the I'll look it up. But anyway, he starts to be ingrained in this lifestyle but they're going to go two separate paths, right? So like he says I'm going to
Romany is
Romany.
What is
okay.
It's like, because, yeah,
that's what I said. So,
thank God for AI.
He's basically going to say, I'm going to work hard. I'm going to serve my time. I'm going to get out here and I'm going to be able to bring you back to the Capitol. And she's like, I do not want to go to the Capitol. Thank you very much. What if our life was fishing and swimming and music?
And he even has a moment where he's like, it doesn't sound that bad, but also my family's there.
Yeah,
so like,
right. So he's trying, but he is from high society. No matter what, even though he's had his money taken away, all he knows is high society and capital, and he wants to get back there, and that's pulling at him. He has this love, which he does love her, but is he willing to sacrifice everything just for their meager life? You know, happiness, poor and happy, or
rich and
whatever that may be, right? And she doesn't want to do that, right? So he's the seams are starting to come apart here.
Yes,
a bit.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Sir Janus is totally, obviously against the Hunger Games.
He is actively leading a rebellion,
and he is helping people with money, which he says he didn't know. Which I kind of believe him because I think he's naive. But then Snow is like, "What did you think they were going to spend it on?
Right,
they're buying guns, for a rebellion with his money."
So this is that scene I was talking about.
So I had a next time at the bar or whatever.
They see and Snow walks in and they've got these giant rifles, and the daughter of the mayor starts running her mouth and she's like, that's it. I don't know what we're doing. Like, I'm going to tell on all of you. Like, my daddy's going to take care of it.
Yeah.
And Snow's like, nope. And shoots her in the back. And he's just like, to his point though, he's like, I didn't have a choice. Like, she's going to go tell her dad that we're here.
But that's what the interesting thing is, and why I really like what they do with this movie. You always have a choice. I know what
that's
you mean.
True.
He was backed in a corner.
Yeah.
He didn't have a choice in the fact that if he wants to get away with everything he's done, but he's a murderer.
No?
This shows he's a killer, though. And we saw in the arena when he goes to get Sir Janus out the first time, he kills a kid. In defense, I mean, the kid was going to kill him, but like he killed him, but then also said the power felt good.
Yeah.
And now in this time, instead of trying to stop her in any other way we'll figure it out,
he just picks
up a gun and shoots her. So Snow is a killer.
Right.
And Lucy Gray doesn't totally turn on him, but that was her first, I think, eye-opening of like, oh, this guy could be bad. We have different values. Yeah.
Well, she even like,
this is a bad relationship. This is a red flag. If your guy is,
but she doesn't leave.
No, she doesn't. But I think this was eye-opening for her.
He kind of does the whole forehead to forehead, where he's like, I didn't have a choice.
And she's gonna tell in love, she's still kind of on board. But
so he's like, you go out there, you finish singing, and then we'll figure this out. And she's like, meet me by the hanging tree in the morning.
No, she sang meet me by the. She's like
the fifth time.
Yeah, she's like that planet in the Marvels.
Oh sure,
she has
to
sing.
She's
everything
gotta sing everything.
She's like deep blue something.
That's a man.
She's got one hit.
That's it. And you better ride that thing into the ground.
She's going to sing it every time.
What was that? What was the Dishwalla one?
Counting Blue Cars.
Okay.
Deep Blue Something was
Breakfast at Tiffany's. Yeah. Oh, God.
I almost went with Dishwalla.
Did you?
Making that reference, but I opted for Deep Blue Something.
Interesting. Yeah. Both good choices.
Yeah. Thank you.
How about Chumbawamba?
Hey, man.
That's another one.
I hate that song.
I remember the first time I heard it, I was just like, this song is trash, and I'm going to hear it a million times.
That when they close the bar, let's close the campus.
Yeah.
It's closing time.
Yeah.
Every time. So I'm like, I should be letting out of here.
Which bar is that?
Humphreys.
I was in Humphreys just this week.
Were you really?
Yeah. Because
were you pissing the night away?
I was. a listener to the Clip Out was in town, and he was staying down that way, and he was
they've done a great job.
What was really weird is I hadn't been in Humphreys since college.
Yeah, right.
And they were still playing the same music.
Oh, yeah.
It was so...
You didn't have to worry about falling through the floor.
Yeah.
But
I was just like, but is this not a college bar anymore? Because the kids coming in don't want to hear Red Hot Chili Peppers and Green Day and...
I heard Tom walked over to the jukebox and hit it, and it started playing his favorite song.
Yeah, yeah. I just kicked it from the side.
I'm cool like that. But I was just like... You're still playing the same music when I was in here in my 20s.
Yep.
I'm like, but that can't be what the kids want to hear.
Probably
the
kids.
Not. So who is this bar for now?
I mean, it's definitely packed every night. I'll tell you that.
Maybe they play different. It was not packed when I was in there. So maybe they play different music when it's packed.
Maybe.
Were you there at 4 p.m. for the early bird special?
I was there at 8 o'clock. Thank you very much.
Wow, you were out past your bedtime.
Yeah. So they shoot the mayor's daughter and this other guy.
This other yokel.
This is the boyfriend.
No, the guy gets shot as the boyfriend.
Yeah, yeah.
The yokel guy is just Cletus. He's just like
slack-jawed yokel.
He's just like this generic character who we've never seen. He's just kind of in the periphery.
Then they catch this guy.
Is he the guy at the hanging tree with Sir Janus?
Okay. Yes.
But we come to find out he has hidden the guns and will stumble upon them at the end.
We're just going to get there now.
No, okay, but the Sir Janus thing, real quick, though.
Oh, yeah.
So they catch these guys, and it's you know, Yokel, and then all of a sudden, now the crowd, who's it gonna be? And I'm like, oh, is it the girlfriend? What's going on?
Well, because like the commander's like, I've never been so embarrassed. Yeah. This is disgusting.
And it's Ser Janus. And come to find out, the way they caught him was that our Snow sent the Jabberjay, the recording or whatever, to Viola Davis, right? Yeah. And so Viola Davis, I think, meticulously cut him out of the recording because she doesn't want Snow to be, you know,
she knows what he's capable of.
Because what I thought was, like, this dude's sending this to the Capitol, and in this conversation, Ser Janus is like, well, you did blah, blah, blah.
But
and
he also,
like,
he's also saying, you have to stop this. You
no,
can't
no, I know.
Do-
yeah, yeah, yeah. I know he is making a point, but still, you think the way these guys work is they they allow for a lot of gray area? They're like, you guys are rebels, you're dead, right? So I'm like, Snow is going to get in trouble. But since Viola
Davis...
They
allow for Lucy gray area.
Hey! Yes, eh?
But since Viola Davis got it, and she knows that this is her protege,
right?
She is going to
whether he knows it or not.
Right. She knows. All this has been a test for Snow, come to find out, by Viola Davis, basically. And if he passes it, he gets to be her protege. So she cuts around and just leaves the part of him implicating himself. They hang him, so even Ser Janus is not innocent. But that's the part where, like, Snow wasn't like, yeah, like, I meant to do this. Like, I really feel like he was like, oh, crap,
but
I got
also,
him killed.
But he's also in a position where he can't save his friend.
No, right? He
like
can't.
His, but I'm saying, like, his buddy's behind him, like, hey, man, you want to, like, maybe get me out of here? And he's like,
yeah.
But he's, a, you know, he's in a firing line,
he's
basically.
He's stoic, yeah. He's,
I can't.
But I don't believe that he... I don't think he thought this was going to happen.
I think what I believe what Snow thought is either your dad's going to get you out of this or you're going to die.
Yeah.
Those are the options, and I'm fine with either one of them.
Because otherwise he has, I mean, it's his last resort, right?
Right.
Right.
Cut my life into pieces.
No breathing.
That's right.
So anyway, so he's dead. But the general, that guy is the guy from Pacific Rim.
I love that guy. That guy's great. That guy's a great character actor.
But the lead of the army in District 12 is like, hey, you're surprise or no, you, not surprise. You're gonna go out of here. You tested too high. You're gonna go to
your
District.
Your aptitude is great. You're gonna go to officer
two,
training
officer
in
training.
District 2. You're
so
good to go.
Yeah.
And he even says he's like, okay. And then he tells Luce, and he's like, we got to get out of here.
Yeah.
And they go to, this is the part, now this is where I'm confused.
Okay.
So Lucy and Snow are, Lucy's wearing his mom's like shawl, and they have these moments. And to the way that they have set this character up, she seems off. Like, to me, she feels like she's playing this differently than she has been with Snow the entire time.
She seems skeptical of him.
Well, yeah, because I think the
but doesn't want him to know it. Is my
the facade house. Is falling away. I think that she has seen Snow kill. She has seen that he wants to get back to the Capitol and isn't really interested in life with her. I think she's seeing that this guy is dangerous and power hungry, and so it's all just starting to chip away.
It just feels very like he's willing to run away with her, and she's like, "You can trust me. Of course, you can trust me. I would never turn on you."
Well, these are kind of two different parts. When she meets him in the alley and she says, hey, I just want to say goodbye.
Sure.
After all this went down with Ser Janus and stuff, she's like I got to get out of here. And she knows he's going to officer training and all that.
No, she didn't know. She's like, you were going to leave without telling me?
Yeah,
he was like,
she was
I
upset.
Wasn't going to not tell you.
But at this point, but then he's like, look, I'm going to go with you.
Yeah.
I've got nothing else left here. Let's go together. And that's where they then go back to the cabin.
But this is like, even when they get to the cabin, they get inside and she says things that's like.
It's only after he says, I killed three people. She was fine until the third person. When, she
okay,
goes and says that.
Okay,
that's
okay.
When she starts acting weird. That's
okay.
the difference. Because then she already knows he's dangerous and doesn't know if she can trust him. Because she goes, you can trust me, I will never lie to you, back at the lake and all that stuff.
Yeah.
He never really, I don't think
that's
she ever
fair.
Got she never really got the idea that he wouldn't lie to her, and she's picking up on these things.
Okay,
so he says, she says, like, you know, we're both murderers, whatever, and he ends up saying, yeah, three is enough for me. And that's where she goes,
who's
the
third?
And that's where I also, again, and we've already kind of talked about, but I'm like, I don't think he really murdered Ser Janus, because what is murder, the definition? He got him killed,
what
certainly.
What are you, the guy from Saw all of a sudden?
No, yeah. But I don't think he murdered Ser Janus, but he...
I think that it's a window into what he thinks.
Yeah.
I think he thinks he killed him.
But also...
he even says it so clearly.
It's an admission of
But the way they film that scene is he is actively, like, clearing off a stick... And she is in the forefront, and he's like, I've only killed three people. And I was like, oh, dude, he's going to bash her in the back of the head.
Well, like, when he's looking at the guns and stuff, because she's a loose end.
Right. And she says that.
Loose end gray.
Loose end gray. That's her brother.
Oh.
Yeah.
Not judging.
No. Hey. No. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No.
So she goes outside, and then she like she has this moment.
Well, he says, well, we better catch some food for our journey. And she goes, there's fishing rods under the floorboards. He picks up the floorboards and finds the murder weapons.
So what was
Cletus hit him there.
Okay.
And she says, this is part that gets a little weird. I agree. She goes, oh, he must have known about this place, which they said was this big secret place. Right. But Cletus hangs out with her boyfriend, and her boyfriend would have known about the place. So I do think that gives her an out to, like, he told her about the secret place.
But the way this is all filmed and the dialogue, it just makes me feel like they're both, like, it feels like it's spy versus spy.
No, but I don't think it is, because what she is doing is she's like, okay, murderer, I'll be right back. Right. Oh, she's scared for her life and wants to get away from him.
I got you.
So that's why it feels weird, because she is doing that to him. But as the audience, you're like, girl, get out of there.
Okay.
Like, she is in danger.
I took that as she won the Hunger Games and they got their hooks into her.
I don't think so. I think she's a really genuinely just happy, musical, hippie type person that wants to just live her life. But
you know how gypsies are.
Wouldn't go that far. But that's the thing. So I think the connection there again is that Lucy Gray's boyfriend, the bad dude that's a drunk and abusive or whatever, he was the one doing the uprising with Cletus. And so since he knew about the lake with Lucy, he must have told Cletus. Cletus stashed the guns where he knew no one would find them, because it's a secret place. Lucy, I do not believe, was in on any rebellion. I think she just was...
I was thinking of the way they played Katniss, right? Where Katniss was trying to tear it down from the inside.
Yeah.
And I just thought Lucy was probably in the same boat.
Yeah.
Well,
who knows? Now, after all this happens, and that's what I kind of like about the mystique of it and how it's going to live with Snow for the rest of his days, you know, of what happens. But with Lucy and Snow...
But we don't see what happens to her.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
The
mystery. And that's why I think it's great, because she's
out there.
Snow will never be able to... rest a peaceful night's sleep, because there is someone out there that knows everything he's done.
Yes.
And he doesn't know, is she dead or is she alive? So that's what we're leading to is
they basically have they're chasing each other or he's chasing her through the woods.
She leaves and said, I'm going to go collect some Katniss.
Right.
So that's another kind of stick in his craw over
later,
time.
Yeah.
We know what that means, you know.
He ends up finding her, the shawl.
Yeah.
And she,
it's a shawl.
Shawl, right? Or whatever.
Shawl.
Yeah. He picks it up and there's one of Viola Davis's snakes.
That's the mother's shawl. His mother's shawl that he gave to her, and now she has left it behind, which clearly shows she is not interested in this relationship.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not an accident, but this is the question. Is she more cunning, or did she just throw the shawl on the ground and a snake wandered in it? Like, I think that's left open to interpretation.
I think we've seen her ability to tame a snake more than once.
Yeah.
So I do think that she threw that down with the snake underneath it. Snake bites him, and he kind of goes...
But where'd she get that? She's for months been keeping the snake.
Oh.
And then got it.
This
from
is why
the,
we need it to be a TV show.
I'm just saying.
Break
like
in case of emergency.
Like, that would be a very convoluted plan.
Or a very cunning plan.
I don't know.
Where she has this snake.
She had a snake at the ready at the beginning of the movie.
And we know that these snakes...
She saw it on the ground, right?
And picked it up. There's lots of snakes.
But these snakes, the Viola Davis
has... But we were
Davis
saying
has,
if it's a Viola Davis snake, that's a very specific snake you'd have to keep.
It won't attack her.
No, I know. But where did she, since the Hunger Games, get one and keep one of those snakes and feed it and keep it? And
who knows?
I don't know. But anyway, I like that it's left open, though, because the snake bites him. So now it's like, did she leave that form or did she throw it on the ground and snakes are out there and is, you know, whatever. But now he's like crazy and paranoid.
Well, I think the venom's starting to kick in.
Yeah. But then that's the question. Did he see her or was that an illusion? So he's calling out for Lucy Gray. He's starting to get paranoid. Now he hears that song.
Yeah.
This is number 6 or 7.
Yeah.
And
it's the Mockingjays.
The Mockingjays have heard her sing it. So she either sang it and they were repeating it like on purpose, or they just picked it up or whatever. But it's haunting him and the song is everywhere.
Just firing.
He's going crazy with, you know, and he sees a person, which it's her dress. We see it's Lucy.
Something's
Gray.
Running through the
we
woods.
We know that, you know, and he shoots at her. So it's like, oh crap, he's going to kill her.
And all he does is find an earring.
Yeah.
And that's it. And
so we don't know.
And he wakes up in the capital, I assume.
Yeah. But I like this, that you only find your earring, you never find a body. So that earring could have fallen out off her as she escaped, right?
Yeah.
So did he hit someone? Did it just fall off?
Is there another book in this series?
No.
This is it. Okay. So he wakes up in the capital, and now we are full-blown Snow.
Yeah.
Like, we are
He's got his luscious locks back.
Yeah. And he goes to see... Peter Dinklage, and he kills Peter Dinklage, like very Snow-esque, where he leaves.
He goes to Viola Davis first, I think we should say, right? Like,
no, I think he goes to Dinklage first, and then he goes to Viola Davis.
I thought when Maybe. He wakes up, he talks to Viola Davis, and she says, what are the Hunger Games about? Like, that's you're going to be ends. My protege and all
that's
that.
That's how it ends.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, he goes to see Dinklage, and he's got his buddy's, sir, whatever his name is, box, like memory box. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I'm just going to keep this picture. You can have the rest. And he kind of dresses. This is where we get the idea.
Like, clearly planting. He knows he's a morpholine addict.
Right.
And we saw in the box he's got three vials of this stuff. But knowing what we know, I mean, they did a good job of Chekhov's rat poison and all this
yeah,
stuff.
Right,
he's
right.
leaving it for this drug addict. And so
he knows he's going to take it. And, yeah. of course, this is where we get the revelation that Snow's dad is responsible for getting the Hunger Games implemented. And Dinklage, of course, he leaves. Dinklage picks up the morphine bottle, slams it, and then immediately dies because it's laced with rat poison. And then he goes to see Viola Davis, and Viola Davis is like, what, you know, she's playing with eels, which I always find very creepy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that
you
movie.
You know you're a bad guy if you've got like pet eels. Like that's always the red
Were
flag.
Were they eels with freaking laser beams yeah, on their head? They looked I mean, she's a game maker. She does some very
she
bad
does some
stuff.
Very bad stuff. And this is where we get basically that Snow is coming into power.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how it ends.
And we should say that the Plinth family has adopted him.
They have.
He is now heir to the Plinth fortune.
Right. Because he saved his son. The son twice.
Yeah, all the family knows about is how he was friends with his son and saved him in the arena, and now that the son's gone, they have no heir.
Right.
So
he saved him twice, he killed him once, so he's still
ahead.
he's still ahead.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. yeah.
And obviously, as we said, Viola Davis covered up the portion that he had anything to do. I mean, they know their son was doing all this rebellion. He was running into the arena like it's not.
Yeah, they were outside the arena when they were, you know, it's very typical. We're just like, man.
Yeah, so they know his son was up to this stuff. It's not like they would think there's any foul play or whatever.
Right.
So, I like how Dinklage in that moment is like, so I guess you got the Plinth Prize after all.
He's like, you're damn right.
But they pay for his fancy apartment. Obviously, he's the heir. He's going to get all their money. And
he's going
that,
to university
he's gonna become President Snow. He's got uh-huh. he's gonna have the power, the wealth, the tutelage of the game maker for the Hunger Games.
Did he do the games for in the other movies as well?
Well, I mean, he's the president. He's not really involved in the games.
Okay. Do we ever meet a game maker in the other ones?
Yeah.
Who is it?
There's all sort. I can't remember who it is, but we meet the game makers.
Okay,
yeah. It's famous people. I just can't remember. I haven't
that's
seen
fine.
Those
I
movies.
Just Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Philip Seymour Hoffman. Yeah,
it is.
I was going to say
that's what he was filming when he died.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Man, I missed that guy. He's so good.
He was great.
Yeah. I thought this was. I think this is better than 2 and 3. I would watch this.
I think
again.
It's better than 3 for sure.
Yeah.
It's definitely better than 3 and 4, but. Two. It's four. Been a while since I've seen two. I'm trying to remember. But.
I think the first two are really good, and I do think Mockingjay had potential, but they ran out of steam. That's one of those Hobbit situations where it's like, do not stretch this into multiple movies.
Right. Yeah. Oh, I forgot they did with The Hobbit. Oh, I knew there was another one that
How
they
could
did
you
that
ever,
with. Yeah.
The shortest book into 3 movies.
Yeah. Big mistake.
Yeah. So, but I really enjoyed this.
I thought it was really, it was well done.
Ryan had never seen a Hunger Games movie. And he went with me. He didn't want to go at first. I'm like, I got to see the movie. We'll go see the Marvels later. And he said it's one of his favorite movies of the year. He loved it.
Damn.
So not having seen the Hunger Games movies, this was very effective.
Well, I guess you can do them in order now.
Well, right. That's what I told him when I told him going. I'm like, it's a prequel, so you can watch them and the others will make sense. And but yeah, so just so you know, like if you've never even seen the other ones, this will work apparently. And it's an interesting movie.
I thought it was fun. Yeah. I had no qualms with it whatsoever. I had no interest. This is my interest in this was lower than the Marvelous.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
After that Mockingjay part 2.
Yeah.
So anyway, I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21, and also on Letterboxd. Also pay attention to Binge Movies in 2024. I just recorded an episode with Jason on the some of the films of Peter Himes.
Okay. Oh, wow. Yeah. Nice. This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at or X. Or are we still calling
I'm
it Twitter?
Calling it Twitter.
Okay, because I'm like, that feels so weird. To
Old man shouts at Clay.
Yeah, right.
It's still Twitter.
Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett and subscribe to Circle of Wizards on the podcatcher of your choice.
And you can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can find the show online, facebook.com/real spoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group, and of course, don't forget our Patreon at patreon.com/real spoilers. So that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in, and until next time, Sanctuary is a myth.
Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice, cause we already warned you. Better watch out, it's gonna ruin the plot.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.